This is Thursday, August 12th at 11 p.m. My name is Brenno de Winter and you're listening to Binary Voice, the news. Basically, one main item, Dutch journalist Bert Brussen, who is prosecuted for picking up a tweet that threatened conservative politician Geert Wilders and reporting about him, is gaining support throughout society. Today, on this radio station, the Dutch Federation of Journalists promised support and promised to start complaints. Two liberal parties in parliament demanded clarification. Among this is Liberal Party D66 and the member of European Parliament, Marietje Schaake, said also on this station that she thinks it's time for focusing on freedom of expression even more in European Parliament. She points out that new policy adopted by Iceland should be taken seriously and gain attention by the European Parliament before Iceland becomes a member of the European Union, and the Netherlands should follow that example. Also related to this case, there is more and more opposition towards a new law that is enacted. There is a new law coming up that would undermine the freedom of speech and is gaining more and more opposition. Mr. Brussen is currently being prosecuted for inciting the public because he retweeted a tweet that was a threat. By the way, in his article he clearly stated that this was the way to threaten Mr. Wilders, and according to him that basically says that he was picking it up as a journalist, what he professionally is. In California, a judge has halted all same-sex marriages, and in the Netherlands heterosexuals are allowed to marry again.
Please dial *611 for assistance.
We get signal. My screen turn on. You're listening to the radio program about hackerspace. This is a little radio program about hacker places.
Welcome to the Hackerspace Hour at Signal. We're going to talk about hackerspaces next hour, and on the table we got Dr. X, GMC, and maybe some people at the J0 who's coming in. We'll be right back.
And welcome to the Hackerspace Hour on Signal by joined. Well, I'm Dr. Wax. On the other table, I have a guest from Fish, GMC, and FS 111.
Yeah, how do you pronounce it? Yeah, I'm always confused.
You just don't pronounce it.
All right.
It's just FS 111.
Exactly. It's a written name. Huh? Okay. On the internet, there is no pronunciation.
FS11. You should add some exclamation marks, and we can just say FS11.
FS awesome, huh?
Yeah. Come in, awesome. Now, everybody's also asking about my tail, because it's actually fish _. But if you find me on IRC, it could be a very long tail.
Tap.
Hey, about Hackerspace Brussels and Whitespace.
Yes.
Yeah.
What happened? What kind of awesome thing happened over there?
Well, there's this biological thing. It's like when one cell feels like it's getting too big, it splits into two. And that's basically what we did. Hackerspace Brussels was the first hackerspace in Belgium. And there was a group of people from this wonderful city of Ghent in Oost-Vlaanderen. I hope I pronounced that correctly. that figured it's kind of annoying to drive there all the time, 60 kilometers. So we need our own space in our nice little town. And so we founded a space in Ghent earlier this year. We had an opening weekend in the beginning of spring. We had 3 days of hackerspace visitors from all of Europe. So there were people from like crazy countries like Belgium and France.
Oh, France.
Yeah.
No, Luxembourg?
No. And there was this guy from The Hague that said he would come, but he didn't show up. I don't know why.
I'm sorry I missed it.
No, you're not sorry.
I am.
No, so...
I love you.
Ah.
Hey, but the fork is actually a very good thing, I've heard. I spoke to people from Hackerspaces Brussels. They say... In the history, lots of people from Ghent already came to Brussels, yep. And in the beginning it was a little bit silent in Brussels, but afterwards new people came in.
It's true. So in the beginning there was so the group found themselves. The Belgian group found itself in Berlin during the 25C3. So that's how the Hackerspace Brussels started. So it was always a big group of people from all over, the Flemish speaking part of Belgium and Brussels itself. So we were always an international group. The cool thing is, like, in Hackerspace Brussels, the language is English, because it's Brussels, it's the European capital, and, well, it was always kind of a mix of everything. There were foreigners, there were people from both language communities in Belgium, and but that also made it a non-local thing. So it was like a space that was gathering every Tuesday for a Tech Tuesday event, but it was not a space that was like operating 24/7 or like every weekday.
Was it more that it were coordinated events and a regular day where everybody was coming up?
Yeah, basically, yes. So we have a Tuesday event. It's called the Tech Tuesday. And then we also did...
it's probably kind of familiar on most hackerspaces, the Tech Tuesday.
Yes. Except in Ghent, that we do it on a Thursday so that the people that still want to go to Brussels can do on Tech Tuesday. So that's why we have it doesn't even have a tech line. It's just on Thursdays we have meetings. So, but anyway, so there's a group of Ghent people that founded Whitespace in Ghent. But... that kind of left a little bit of a hole in Brussels, I would say. But now new, like, locals from Brussels, like the real Brussels people, are coming in and are running the space, which is nice, because you don't want to have, like, your hackerspace run by people from another city. You want them to be members, you want them to run workshops, etc., but you want the locals to be running the space in your city.
True, because integration from the locals are important, because they keep on continuing the space, in my opinion.
Exactly. I mean, the same thing happened now with Antwerp. I mean, there's now, since 2 weeks, a hackerspace in Antwerp. And it's the same thing. There are people that are member in the hackerspace in Brussels, because it was the first one. And they now forked off in, I don't know, I don't want to call it a fork, because we are not detaching ourselves. We are still one big family of...
So let's not call it a fork. Let's call it a new space and a big family.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We all have this warm, woozy feeling. And
you were already mentioning something new in Antwerp, We Void Warranties.be.
Yes, exactly.
I love that name, by the way.
Yeah. the name is great, but it's like, for a physical space, it's kind of strange, don't you think? Like, I go to We Void Warranties.
It's a difficult name to pronounce, but it's funny.
Yeah.
And that's the reason
I like it.
I
also like the subdomain thing they did, because it's we.voidwarranties.be.
True, 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 true. They did opening last Saturday in Antwerp. GMC also was there?
I was there. Got the shirt.
Ah, you're actually wearing the shirt.
Yeah,
I'm jealous.
It's a very red shirt, and I was not allowed to wash the shirt for my wife.
Oh?
Because, you know, red and white shirts together turns probably something like...
Are we now going to discuss washing tips on the Hackerspace Hour?
No. We're not going to do that. Hey, but their opening was very very well, in my opinion. What they did is they did a small conference and a barbecue.
And DJs.
DJs. Yeah, but I left early, you know?
Ah, you missed something. They had Liquid Bass again with this cool setup.
Oh.
And they had like this really cool DJ. His name was Angelo Vermeulen. He did some, well, basically had remixes of game music, chip music, and it was really cool. And I talked to him, and he might want to do a set on the show, actually, or on the signal at some time.
Oh, so we got more signals.
Definitely.
Well, talking about music, maybe we should kick Ames on.
Oh, definitely. By the way, the song we listened to at the beginning of the show was by Null Sleep. I think Dr. Rex is a big fan of him. I like his music a lot. It was Lo-Fi Sandcastle. What we have now on the turntable is Samuel Escher Weiss. I should really try to practice these names before I pronounce them. The song is named He's a Radical Rat. And I click this.
For assistance.
screen turned on. You're listening to the radio program about hackerspaces. This air level radio program about hackerspaces.
Welcome back to the Hackerspace Hour at a brand new radio station, Signal. Here at ETS Hero, we already mentioned it, we got a radio station, and Dr. Wax is he's the guy who's doing the Hackerspace Hour over here at the radio station, and he's probably going to do some Hackerspace Hours at Signal too.
Alright.
Dr. Wax.
Hello, Fish.
Hey. What's happening at the Hackerspace Hour in Dutch over here? Is it difficult to do it in Dutch or easier?
It's much easier to do in Dutch. Normally when I'm chatting or something, it's easy to think about all the English words I need to pronounce. And I'm not used to, I actually did my talk to ETS Hero and it was different, but I think I did well.
Everybody has to learn, in my opinion. So, and there's only one way to learn.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah.
Hey, about the show, what's happening at the Hackerspace Hour at ETH Zero? You're talking with people?
I'm talking with a lot of people who started Hackerspaces or are busy setting up Hackerspaces in Holland. You are especially one of them, and Koen too, and FS111, or, yeah. That's the right pronouncement for now.
Fantastic.
F is awesome. F is awesome.
Is the, sorry, coming back to your nickname, FS is von File System? Or?
No. The thing is,
of nicknames. Oh, dear.
You know, it's actually, I think if we broadcast this in the US, I can't say what it stands for. You know, it's like offensive words and stuff.
So don't do it then.
Exactly.
Now we're talking about nicknames. So we're coming back about the Hackerspace Hour, Dr. Wax.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
But I've always wondered where the nickname GMC was coming from. I was thinking about a brand of cars or a company who was located in Europe and was set up upside down.
Well, it's actually we talked about it about the shirt, the Back to the Future, the Hack to the Future shirt of hope. Actually, my nickname comes from the movie Back to the Future. It's indeed the car, the time traveling car in there.
Oh.
It has GMC on it, and well, that was about the time I chose my nickname. So there you go. So now you know.
So you're not a rusty guy.
A rusty guy.
The car, it's a DeLorean you were talking about.
Yes.
It's made from Inox.
From what?
Inox.
I never...
you don't know what Inox is? No. Roestvrij staal in Dutch.
Stainless steel.
Oh, yeah. Hey, coming back to the Hackerspace Hour, because we were talking about that and not about nicknames.
No, yes.
Well, now that we are on it, where does the nickname Fish come from?
Well,
underscore.
It's very double. The underscore is coming to make it a little bit more you can identify it on the internet. The second thing is, I love to eat fish, and there was a guy who was singing at Marillion, and his name was also Fish, so 1 + 1 = 3.
I get it.
So,
why is the underscore silent? Like, why is your name not Fish underscore?
That's a good question.
I'm keeping my mouth shut, that's why. Hey, the Hackerspace Hour here at ETH Zero. You see, there are a lot of hackerspaces here located also at the campsite. So it must be easy to find your people at the show, or are they kind of shy?
The first 2 days were a bit hard. Most of the people were shy. They were still, they wanted to do their things at the conference. Still setting all the stuff up. But I learned from Hacking at Random, from your hacker, from the Hackerspaces hour. So I didn't do it at 10 a.m., but at 2 p.m. And I think that also was a good thing to do.
Well, every morning I remember that the show was starting 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock?
10.
It was starting at 10, and I remembered I had to get up at 8. And
Wait, there was an 8 o'clock at Har in the morning? You're kidding.
For me, it was because first I at least needed 2 Club Mate. This is commercial, isn't it?
Open Mate.
Open Mate. And afterwards I was able to just do my walk around at the campsite of Hacking Adrenum to kick everybody out of their bed to have them in the show of 10 o'clock. But they were not my friends.
You know, I am really glad that the idea for Revelation Space started after HAR.
Yeah, yeah.
You mentioned.
But your show is 2 o'clock?
2 o'clock, yes.
And people can, it's in Dutch, isn't it?
Most of the hours were in Dutch, because most of the hackerspaces who are with Dutch. But I also interviewed Lee Dog, who is involved in the hackerspace in Kuala Lumpur. So then we switched to English, and with the Belgium hackerspaces, no problem. We just talk in English.
Are the shows going to be podcast?
I think so.
At least the ones that have all. Yeah, we did all Creative Commons there as well, right?
Yeah, yep. Sure.
Yeah.
So it could be awesome. A good idea just to announce them actually on the Signal list, because it's an hackerspace hour.
Indeed.
Yeah. Awesome.
Talking about podcasts, there are some available, and I think they're on the wiki. If they're not, I'm going to put them on. So that's those are the Hacking at Random podcasts. They're a bit old, but I think they're still good to listen.
Yeah, I learned from those, actually.
Oh, thank you. So, which hackerspaces did you talk about? You probably spoke to Antwerp.
No, nobody's
from Antwerp, is there?
No.
Oh, lame.
But
I want to mention that we have now a fourth hackerspace in Belgium. Just to mention.
Yeah, the French
Wolfplex.
Wolfplex, yeah. But what's the name of the city?
Charleroi.
We're lagging behind here.
We only have three if we count Almere. Who should have their opening party later this month?
Oh, nice.
Yeah? Is there a date announced?
I haven't seen a date. Let me just check.
Okay. But talking about the spaces who are located here at 880.
Well, there are actually a lot, and especially after Hacking at Random, a lot of people started with the ID. Random Data started, Revelation Space started. And more people were actually like, hey, I want to start a space too. So why not do it? And most people know each other from conferences like ETH0 or from Hacking at Random. Make new friends, meet new friends. And especially when you are you're close by each other and more people are interested in hackerspace, it's much easier to set up. And if you don't know much people, you have an ID, but it's kind of hard to set up one.
Okay. Those hackerspaces who are here at ETH0, they are quite close to each other also. Most of them are Benelux.
Yeah.
And they go to events from each other, I think so, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So you spoke to probably Hack42?
Hack42, Dukes of Hackers.
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
They must have, like, I don't know, 1 trillion of stickers. Because, like, everywhere you go in Western Europe, there is Hack42 stickers. Like, it's, like, everywhere. I even haven't had that on my laptop. I don't know anybody from that space, but somehow it ended up on my laptop.
I can tell you that story about the stickers of Hack42. one of the members of Hack42, she's into hacking a company, and then I'm not talking about technical hacking, but she knows the way of the website, let's say.
I see.
And she really knows the most cheap combinations of ordering. For example, if she's going to order a coffee mug, she knows if I'm going to order three pieces by three pieces instead of 1x6, I'm cheaper than 1x6. That's actually kind of stupid. But that's the reason why they also have a lot of stickers. So that's who do you spoke to?
Stitz. He did a cool presentation about the hackerspace too at the Hack in the Box conference. And he talked about it more at the ETH0. And he also, before the show, he actually said to me, like, he meets some new people who are actually also interested in joining the space. So that's the good thing about conferences. You meet new people who are also interested. And it's a big plus and a good positive thing for your hackerspace, I think.
True. You also spoke to RevSpace.
Revelation Space, yes. Koen and Walter.
Yeah.
about the projects there, about how the space started. I mean, it's great.
It's interesting, yeah. Actually, most of RevSpace is here at the moment. We have a RevSpace tent. We took all the Fat Boys. The Beamer is here. Actually, well, it's almost empty in space now.
Only Oki is not here. He's on ICMP.
Yes, on the Mater pilgrimage.
I actually can't blame it. He was preparing something like Mater Stui or so.
What?
If you're going to pour beef into Mater beer or so on and...
Oh, he does interesting things with Mate. Yeah, he's an expert on cooking with Mate.
Hmm. Maybe we should have a cooking show on Signal.
Yeah, why not?
Kuhn, maybe you should mention the Mate ice cream you had in Brussels.
We definitely should, yeah. That was interesting. So I was there escaping the soccer, actually. And when I got there, they had like Mate and cream. And, well, they had a third ingredient, liquid nitrogen. You just throw it together, stir a bit. And what do you get? Mate ice cream.
Hey, Kuhn.
Yeah?
I hear a lot of talking about Mate ice cream. Really a lot. I think I heard it about a 5 time in this week. Now I want to have it. Make it!
Well, get out your liquid nitrogen then.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's time for some 8-bit in my opinion.
Definitely.
This is the Hackerspace Hour. Welcome. What did I hear, Kuhn?
It's not my fault. It's not Blame Skaven. Blame Skaven. This song is called Catch the Goblin, and apparently we failed to catch him because he's escaping.
No, catch him. Okay, the Hackerspace Hour in the ETH80. You got some highlights, Wax?
Yeah, there is a lot of cool things going on, especially when I... the Hackerspace Hour at 2 o'clock. I interviewed a lot of space, and some of the space has really cool things, like Revelancy Space is still busy with an awesome MakerBot, and MakerBot is I think Kuhn can explain that better than me, actually.
What a MakerBot is, I think most of our listeners know it, but just to be sure, it's basically a 3D printer. It you can send it a design, and it will print it layer by layer out of plastic. There are other versions that use ceramics, and I think even someone who did it with molten metals. I'm not sure about that. That sounds dangerous.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that this is really after you had the revolution of being able to print anything on paper, basically, bringing publishing to the home. What we see now is a whole movement of bringing actually production of physical goods to the homes. And MakerBot is like do-it-yourself version of the more professional rapid prototyping devices. And you can build it yourself. It's relatively cheap compared to the professional ones. It's still, if you can buy everything or make it yourself, which is a bit more difficult. But if you do everything yourself, it's cheaper. And the goal of most of these projects is to use off-the-shelf components, so that basically you can just run to your hardware store, get the components, and start building.
If you're going to take a look on those projects, the MakerBot is of course one. We got the Mendel, but those are the 3D printers. Some other projects like the Vrees. What's the English word of Vrees?
A router, I guess.
Yeah, the
CNC router.
The CNC router is also a very good solution in my opinion. The fun thing is that you see a lot of these projects are getting open projects and getting improved by all people. Yesterday we had a discussion with the guys of the FabLab truck over here, and you see actually that the FabLab formula is changing on that. Yeah. They used to have the 50-watt laser of a too expensive company, I think 20,000 euros or 30,000 euros.
Stream.
Yes, and the same with 3D printers. And FabLab is changing a bit, like they're saying, like, okay, we think it's important to have a 3D printer, but if you're going to make the machine itself, you know how it works, and maybe it's even better to make it yourself, so you know how the FabLab is working. So that's about MakerBot.
Yeah, and especially when you when we are talking about the FabLab truck, Jaap van Maas is busy with it, and he actually created a big truck with all kind of cool FabLab things. And for those who are not familiar with the FabLabs, it's actually a sort of maker space on wheels with a lot of MakerBot, RepRap, CNC printers. So a big do-it-yourself scene, actually, I think.
I just had a comment here for someone on IRC Brimstone. Apparently, I forgot to mention that there's a sugar-based MakerBot too, so you can print candy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I saw pictures of that in a talk from Brie Pettis.
I know from the 2D printers who are doing a lot of food stuff. For example, you can make a very nice Mona Lisa on your cappuccino. Didn't do it?
No.
No, just refilling.
What do you mean? You put milk in coffee? Why would you?
No,
do
no,
that?
No. What you just do is you fill up your inked with a caramel, and you just put your cappuccino below the print head, and it's going to print the Mona Lisa for you on your cappuccino. Okay, because we can. That's the thing. But
how fast is the cappuccino still hot when it's done?
I hope so. I hope so.
I think so.
I hope they can do it in color too. but some more highlights about the Hackerspace Hour here.
Yeah, well, actually, I am starting a Hackerspace myself too. I'm trying to set one up, but I actually need to do it. And it's going to happen in Amsterdam. I don't announce it yet.
Well, this now is big enough.
Yeah,
to
I announce it now. But it's, you know, you need more spaces. And for them, I think, really need one. And especially one with a really stable place. Not a squatted one where you need to move every 5 or 6 months. Jaap van Maas was involved with the squatted Hackerspace too. And we had some emails. And he actually said, I actually quit it. The squatted Hackerspace because we needed to move every now and then, and the members didn't like it too. And especially when you look at the history of the Hackerspace, the internet was just started. People came by to check their email there because internet was still expensive and stuff.
So you had a very good discussion at your Hackerspace hour with the app about is a squatted Hackerspace a solution in Holland?
Yeah, basically, yes.
Okay.
I think the answer is no.
Okay.
It can still work out, but with other laws now,
they changed a lot over here, yeah, true. Yeah,
actually, squatting has been made illegal in the past months. It was allowed after the war because there was a shortage of space to live. But even though there were lots of good initiatives in those squatting places,
it was good.
Our government decided it could not go on for any longer, and they made a law against it.
It's a shame, actually.
It's a pity. It's a pity. If you're going to take a look on buildings who keep on standing empty. So.
For years and don't do nothing.
Definitely, yeah. There was a discussion on the hackerspace list about this as well a while back. I mean, it's not unique for Holland. There's a lot of buildings that they keep empty just because it's, for tax reasons, it's more economic to not put anything in there than to just rent a part of it. And it's a shame, really. There's lots of nice buildings that are just going to a waste.
Yeah. I mean, we are looking for a space in Amsterdam too, and most of the buildings are really expensive if you want to rent, especially in the center. It's you pay for a small space more than €1,000, I think.
Well, after this sad news, I think we need to cheer up a little bit with some right bits.
Please dial *611 for assistance. We'll be right back.
to the Hackerspace Hour. My name is Fish, and here on the table I got FS111, Dr. Wax. GMC is doing the technicians and also trying to keep on track on what we're talking about.
All right.
Hey. Some projects we're currently active on the Hackerspace scene. One of them is DN42. I heard RefSpace is already connected. Is Brussels, sorry? Is Whitespace already connected?
Both actually. I mean, Whitespace is in a test setup right now, but we changed our whole network setup so that we use IP ranges of DN42 in our internal space. And Brussels is right now fully connected. So you can put yourself into the wild, wild west of DN42 if you enter the space.
Okay, for people who don't know what DN42 is, maybe you can give them a small introduction.
Well, DN42 is a network that actually started in Germany. For a bunch of German spaces wanted to have a darknet or a VPN between different spaces and different individuals that... And it's a big playground for learning stuff like BGP, so learning IP routing, etc., etc. So it's a big distributed network, and you can peer with people, and you can find interesting services on these on this network. And during, I think it was during HAR, there was a talk, or there was like an ad hoc meeting from what's his name? This guy from Germany, I forget. He's the, I don't know.
The network, the darknet, was quite well announced at 26C3, also yeah, by Eric Michaud.
Yeah, but there was also, I forgot his name, I don't know. He was also at HAR. He did like the pre-announcement of who would be interested from hackerspaces from outside Germany, because they were interested in having more people. And then at 26C3, there was also the talk about DN42 and Chaos VPN and the other thing I forgot, so the idea is to connect spaces together and build one big network. And so in Brussels it's running, and in Whitespace we are connected, but not everybody that goes on the network is on the wild wild west now.
What are people doing on the network?
There is Git hosting, there is somebody that has apparently a torrent tracker, there is I don't know what's on the torrent tracker, that's like all I think CC music or something like that. Then there is somebody giving away free VMs on the machine and all sorts of stuff. So you can basically offer whatever you like. But it's also a big playground to learn how big networks are set up. So you have your own AS number, you are an AS, you learn how IP routing works, you need to find peers, etc., etc.
Okay. So that's DN42. We're also I saw a podcast on the not a podcast. I saw a blog entry on the Hackerspaces blog about the Irish Hackerspaces. Did you saw it?
No.
Well, there is going to be an Irish Hackerspaces week.
Nice.
The Hackerspace movement in Ireland has expanded over the last 3-4 months, and with the Hackerspaces moving into new premises. For example, 091 Labs in Galway. I'm reading now the blog. That's the reason I know it. they want to have Hackerspaces week, and this week is scheduled on the weekend of the 21st and 22nd of August. Yes, they want to announce it. Maybe it's something to, if you're living in Ireland, to take a look on. So, what's going to happen on Hackerspaces in the near future? And also on the table, we got Aldert right now. Aldert, he's involved and he's the chairman of the HXX Foundation. Maybe some people know it from Hacking at Random. Hi, Aldert, how are you doing?
Hi, good evening.
So, what is HXX doing with Hackerspaces?
We try to support Hackerspaces in Holland to flourish and grow. By supporting them in the beginning, primarily, so that they can actually start up easily. So that's what we try to do, to have more hackerspaces.
And how do you do that? You're just bringing in a bunch of people, or maybe bring some tools in, or whatever?
Well, yeah, well, we're not mafia, so we're not bringing in any people. But, for instance, one of the things that we like in Holland is that we have a legal foundation representing the hackerspace, and HXX is helping in that perspective by or paying for the cost for the notary, or pointing to the right people, or having it sponsored by other people. That's one of those things. And maybe, for instance, with what you did, random data, we look at the space, we look what they're missing. That's in, you know, making it. What can we do to make it a better space? And then, for instance, we paid for the toilet.
Yes, that's true. For the people who are listening, I'm involved with Random Data. We're a very small space, and we didn't have a toilet for a while. And that's very nasty if you have to go. If you drink a lot of open mate, then it's very hard. And HXX came in to bring us the money to build a toilet. So thank you, HXX, for that.
Well, you have to thank Koen primarily because he had the brilliant idea.
No, he drank too much mate.
yeah. I've visited your space a couple of times.
It was a need.
Really had to go, and there was no toilet. So I said to Aldert, we have to give these guys a toilet.
Hey, but Aldert, maybe a question. You're supporting the hackerspaces, but what's the reason why HXX is doing that?
Because HXX is a foundation that is started. At the beginning to do HAR9 2001, to have a legal entity representing the event, because you need permits, you have to talk to the police and the government and stuff like that, something we don't like to do, but you know, that's why you get a foundation, so that not a person has to talk to all these people, but a legal entity that can be represented by lawyers. Yeah? So that's the beginning. And after that, we arrived at the conclusion that we want more.
More
hackers, more hacker spaces, more hacker people, more hacker events. And then we were thinking, how can we get more hacker events? And that's difficult because Dutch people are not very into joining an organization with, you know, such a loose goal like hackers, because that's not something well defined. We don't want to define it. So
what you're saying is that by supporting hacker spaces, you build a sub-community.
Yes.
Who are actually connected to each other. For example, by HXX or just by commuting.
Or by then creating events where all those hacker spaces, come to, so that they gather. So we build gatherings where those hacker spaces meet, and then we have more.
So, for example, next year, CCC Summer Camp?
Yeah, so...
I heard something about a very big wooden shed.
That's what happens when you let hackers think out of the box. They go insane, huh? Which is, if you do a network design, probably a good thing, but not with physical stuff. But we will actually try to bring as many hackers to the CCC camp as possible by providing services to the hacker community in Holland. Like, we will rent some big tents and put them on the terrain so that we can support a big lounge, so that we can support a big hackerspace gathering tent, really like a big one, and like a radio studio, the retro tent with all the old games. And
is this going to stick to Dutch people, or are international people also welcome?
Well, it will be mainly oriented to the Dutch crowd, but you know, if there's a hackerspace from a country that's not really defined, you know, on the terrain, then of course, you know, we have a hackerspace tent. No problem, you know, if Haxo Green, or where are you guys from?
Belgium.
Well, what's the name of the hackerspace?
White Space.
Well, if White Space wants to join, then, you know, all the other hackerspaces are okay with it. Of course, no problem there. And then we'll build like a Camp Holland, you know, with Belgiums. And
Sounds as a very, very good option. I think HXX is doing something for the future for hackerspaces. I want to thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, we go even, you know, beyond this, because we will rent a big truck so that all the hackerspaces can bring their equipment to us, and we will ship it to Germany and back. So
like a hack bus.
Moving van in a way.
Okay.
And then we will see if we can also provide a hacker. What is it? What is it again? Is bus with people? Touring car.
Oh, touring car.
Yeah,
okay.
So that we have a hackers on the bus type of thingy going on.
Very nice. I see Dr. Rex is yawning a bit. It's getting late. Maybe something to wake him up.
Hackerspace Hour at Signal. Welcome. So, we're actually in the last minutes of the first Signal show ever. Yeah, I think we're doing a good job. Thank you for listening, actually. But we still have to do a wrap-up. First of all, we were missing one name.
Equinox.
Okay, what was Equinox?
Equinox is the guy behind DN42. He does all the DN42 talks.
Okay, nice. So Mr. DN42 Equinox.
Thank you.
Okay, I also heard Wex talking about a hippie hacker tool.
Yeah, I got an email today on the Hackerspace discuss list of someone who's going to do a vacation project and who want to visit a lot of hackerspaces out of Europe. For example, he's going to pass by the Netherlands, Belgium, Austria, Spain, Portugal. I think we need to follow this. This can be extremely interesting to find out more about the people who are doing this.
Where can I find information?
On www.vw25.blogspot.com.
Okay. So, and just open for registration?
No, he's doing it alone, but he want to cover a lot of information about hackerspaces.
Okay.
Share this on his blog.
Sounds like a good option. Well, some latest news just came in. Nick Farr, he's driving with a real big truck of Club Mate just through America. He had some Club Mate left over from Hope. I hope he's getting rid of it. Probably when it was Holland. It already was done.
At those prices, what does he pay for? What do you pay for a bottle of mate in the U.S.?
I don't know.
I heard like $3 or $4.
Maybe
$200 for $200 for a crate.
Wow!
I heard he had some mechanical problem with the truck, and it was like $8 per bottle.
Ah!
Oh.
Wow! That's like almost as expensive as ink for my printer.
Well, in that case, I want to say, save Nick Farr.
Yeah.
Hey, I really want to thank you all, FS111. Thank you for being guest at this show. Dr. Wax, see you at next the Hackerspace Hour, probably.
I think so. Yes.
GMC, you will be our technician again.
We'll be seeing you in 4 weeks, right?
Probably yes.
For the next Dev Random.
Yeah, for the ETH0 listeners, the Graveyard Show is just coming up. For the people who are listening on the international sites, I should not stick because I know the show. It's mostly vodka and dirty talk. Thank you all for listening. Next week we got another Signal. And, well, if I take a look on the agenda, I think it's not total yet, but...
We'll see what's in there. I'll make sure we have a nice program then.
Okay. Hey, thank you all, and see you in the next Signal.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Listening to the radio program about hacker spaces.
Then